It's 14 years ago. It's not a very extraordinary date, and yet a game-changing day. Jawed Karim was visiting the zoo. He found himself next to the elephant enclosure, and this is what happened next.
All right, so here we are, one of the elephants. Cool thing about these guys is that they have really, really, really long trunks, and that's cool. And that's pretty much all there is to say.
Yeah, it's a simple 19-second video. It has virtually no new information to offer us. Yet it's been viewed by over 65 million people and has generated more than 2 million comments. All this aside from its content, because its very existence is a game changer for us all. You see, that video that we just watched together, that was the very first video posted on a little application known as YouTube. It was the definition of a game changer. And there are generations of kids who truly have never watched network TV as a result of the second most visited website on the planet. 2,000 years ago, the women who had been among Jesus' early followers, they also headed out to visit his tomb, only to experience their own game-changing event. For the women that morning, and for all the world to that point, really, there had never been any reason to question what would happen next. Jesus had lived. He had died. And now they were coming to pay a final tribute at their teacher's tomb. Before that morning, there had never been any deviation from what they knew as the truth. We live, we love, we die. The women's experience at the tomb that morning, though, would forever alter not only their understanding of life, but it would continue to influence the thinking of all who walk the earth. And indeed, this morning, it challenges us too. The empty tomb encountered in the Easter story, it requires each of us to engage with its game-changing truth. We live, we love, we die. And maybe there is more. Maybe our final day is not the day we breathe our last. Maybe the permanence of death has been replaced by a hope of more. Maybe what we see with our eyes is only partly true. It's only half of what's actually going on. Maybe the unseen realities hold power. They're life-altering. Maybe love is a bridge between what we experience in this life and what is next. Maybe Jesus wasn't just a great religious teacher. Maybe he wasn't just showing us more religious ways. Maybe he was the provision of a way that would forever allow us to escape religion's hold. Maybe the empty tomb is more than a story of life and death. Maybe the empty tomb demonstrates love, power, grace, and authority of the one who could not be held down. Maybe that such authority offers a difference in our everyday experience of life. And maybe, just maybe, Easter is more than a story after all. Maybe the empty tomb is a game changer and we must all consider it well. For the women at the tomb that morning, the possibility that this may be true was enough to compel them forward, past their fears and their doubts, forward to an experience of unbridled, pure joy. The Christian faith, friends, it does not reside in places of the dead. Jesus would not be found there. And I think the scripture captures it so perfectly in this rendition. The single phrase, listen well. It says, so the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them. Having run away from the tomb, the place that symbolized all that they had expected, resigned themselves to, settled for, having run toward the joy that was stirring within their hearts that morning, Jesus meets them. He who had lived, he who had taught them, loved them, inviting them to follow him, he who had died, just as so many other religious leaders had done before, he whom they had wept for, ached for, felt desperately defeated in their grief for, he was now with them again. The risen Jesus had met them. It changed the game forever. So why in 2019 does this empty tomb hold any significance for you? Well, because so many of us are living as though 2,000 years later, nothing has changed. So many of us walk through Easter as though it's just a mere story. So many walk through this day living a continued, muted existence because we haven't acknowledged that our playing field for life has been redrawn. The empty tomb is a historical fact that demands an explanation. And given that in the days following Jesus' death, we have documented viewings of the risen Jesus by over 500 witnesses, I believe it's safe to say that what we think we know about life and death has in fact changed. But have you let it change you? I can remember when I was a teenager, I was raised in a church-going family. And I thought I'd figured out this game of faith. Do good, and good will come to you. I mean, we didn't quite express it that way, but that's the general gist. Good things happen to those who are good. We hear that everywhere in our culture. It was a challenge, of course, at times when the occasional bad thing would happen to good people. You'd have to wrestle with that, and I think I somehow kind of came to my own terms with that, kind of thinking, I guess they weren't as good as I thought they were. But the more time I spent listening to the teachings of my faith community, the more I came to wrestle with this simple explanation for how life worked. Those who are good, those who do good, good comes to them. And I can remember a significant shift came to me one spring break when I went off to camp. And the speaker there was teaching about Jesus in a way that I'd never really let it set in before. He was explaining that it wasn't good enough to be good. This was very distressing to me because I, in fact, you can ask my parents, they're here, I was actually pretty good. I was good at being good. I worked hard to be good. It wasn't enough to be good, the speaker said. In order to experience life to the full, life as it was meant to be, I needed to be perfect. Perfect. I mean, what's the point of even trying? I was pretty good, but perfect, that was off in a distant land. I tried to love my parents well and honor them. I tried to live up to the expectations of the adults around me, even when some of them were too high and way too unrealistic. I worked hard to be good. But perfect? Even I knew perfect was never going to happen. And the speaker went on to explain that only Jesus had the holiness and the power and the grace to live a perfect life and to invite me into a life with him. Even though I thought the game was about being good, Jesus had set me free from that game altogether. Full life, the speaker explained, was found with Jesus, And based on Jesus' perfect life, his grace was enough for me and for all who would follow and trust him. That weekend, I did make a decision. I made a decision to ask Jesus to be my forgiver, my perfecter, to lead my life always. And it was as life-altering for me as I can imagine showing up to an empty tomb was for the women that first Easter morning. It was in that moment I was set free from religious obligation, and I was invited into a loving relationship with God. It was when every earthly relationship I had was touched and included the grace that I had now experienced. It was a decision that loosed in me a peace that I actually, even though I like words, I can't put it into words. But it's always carried with it the assurance that Jesus is enough and he has made me worthy of love. It was a game changer for sure. And perhaps even like that silly elephant video, when I look back on it, it's not so much that I was encountering new information. I wasn't having greater access to important facts. But that spring break camp held significance for me beyond what I could ever explain. It was my empty tomb moment. Like the woman that morning, I ran away from the life I thought I had figured out. And in doing so, Jesus met me. This Easter, the empty tomb invites you to do the same. Do not stay staring at an empty tomb. Life is not found there. The game you've been playing, the game you think you've figured out, the rules you've been taught to abide by, it's all been changed. Instead, run to the new life that God invites you to. It may stir in you both fear and joy, but as you run towards it, this is your promise. Jesus will meet you. Let's pray. Jesus, we invite you to speak to us this morning in a way that moves us from the empty tomb, that moves us from the ways that we have expected life to unfold. And God, though it may be something that conjures up fear in us, we're going to decide to trust you anyways. And so, Father, we again just want to say, or maybe even for the first time, want to say, we trust you, Jesus. Be our game changer. Be our forgiver and perfecter. Please show us how you are with us always. Grow us in a faith that trusts you to be enough. And then touch everything in our lives to reflect that good news. We thank you that you have indeed met us here. Amen.
A crown of thorns upon his head, the Father's heart displayed for us. Oh God, we thank you for the cross. Lifted up on Calvary's hill, we death is done, we'll see your face bright as the sun. We'll bow before the King of Kings. Oh God, forever we will sing. Behold the Lamb, the story of redemption written on his hands. Jesus, you will reign forevermore. The victory is yours. We sing your praise and this hallelujah to your holy name.
Jesus, you will reign forevermore.
The victory is yours.
Well, in preparation for Easter and our reflections on the empty tomb, I've asked a few members of our congregation to come and share what the empty tomb means to them. Because if it is more than a story, it should touch upon our lives. So I'd like to introduce to you Ethan Vaughn, Kathy Alexander, Michael Fryer, and they're going to be sharing their thoughts this morning. And I have not heard them, so I'm equally looking forward to them as well. Ethan, let's start with you this morning. Should be.
Hello?
There we go.
So for me, the whole Easter story is very analogous to the journey from doubt to belief. And in that story, the empty tomb represents the abandonment of sin and worldly aspirations in favor of God's plan. So stick with me on this extended metaphor. Okay, so in this metaphor, the tomb represents our broken world. All worldly aspirations, no matter how noble, get you in that tomb. And there's a certain parallel between the inevitability of our own sin leading us to that tomb and the inevitability of that death. Hmm. Now, when we deprioritize God and his callings, Jesus becomes just another part of our life, just another one of our aspirations. And we place him in that tomb with all the things that lead us towards our death. We roll the stone in front of the tomb. The stone represents our doubt, our denial, our flawed logic. We convince ourselves we're in control. We seal him in the tomb with falsehoods, and we leave him for dead. We convince ourselves we've seen the last of him. But as we know, the story goes, the stone cannot hold him back. Our flawed logic keeps nagging at us, and we realize we've duped ourselves. Jesus is gone. He's out of the tomb. All worldly aspirations lead us to death, but Jesus has gone heavenward. And so the choice is ours, whether we want to stay in that empty tomb or turn our eyes towards heaven.
Wow. Thank you. I knew that if I asked someone who was smarter than me to talk about this, that we would get some really interesting insight. That's why these people are up here. Thanks for sharing that, Ethan. We really appreciate your thoughts. I'm going to think about the ways that I roll a stone in front of the tomb. I want to make sure that my life is reflecting that risen Jesus experience. Thank you. Kathy, I'm going to pass it over to you.
In 2012, my family got our first pet bunny. Her name was Twilight, and she was the most beautiful, sweet, fluffy little bunny you have ever seen. She was an eighth birthday present for my daughter, and we had moved to Denmark that year, so the adjustment was difficult, and somehow having this new little creature come into our family just helped make everything feel better. Well, she lived in a hutch outside with lots of warm straw to keep her warm in the Danish winter. And we learned that sometimes the little latches on the little doors would sometimes not be closed properly. And once she got out and we got her back in, and we were learning to really be vigilant about that. And one night I was going to bed and I thought to myself, I should really go and check on Twilight's cage. I don't think I've checked it today. And then I told myself, it's probably okay. I was tired and I wanted to go to sleep. And sure enough, the cage wasn't properly latched that night for whatever reason. And our precious little bunny got out of her cage and she died of the cold. Now we cried over that little bunny so much. We were so sad. But I also had the responsibility that knowing that I had failed as the parent responsible for the pet of the family, I had failed and I couldn't fix it. And this is just one of those moments in life where I feel a real darkness inside me. Though I have a blessed life and so much joy and love, and though my children forgive me, I hold on in that darkness. It's sort of like being in the tomb. And it's going to take something more powerful than any person I know. Someone with more authority than any person I know to give me the kind of forgiveness that will overpower that darkness I feel inside me and that I hold on to. And that's what the empty tomb has done for me.
Thanks, Kathy. I'll let you pass that down. It's guilt, that kind of guilt, that kind of experience is something that I think many of us can relate to. And it does. You're right. There's nothing we can find in this world that will touch it. But the one who had power to break out of a tomb, who conquered death, he has that authority, yeah. And forgiveness is yours, yeah. Michael?
Yeah, thank you. I think to talk about the empty tomb, for me, I first need to say what the death of Christ means to me. And I think that Jesus' death was just an enormous moment of sacrifice. In many ways, it was a terrible moment and certainly a terrible way to suffer and die. And then to think that he did it for me is just incredible. Several years ago, I really came to a point in my life where I had to face my own sin in a way that I maybe hadn't before. And it was really kind of scary, and I was struggling through a lot of issues where I was ultimately a very selfish person, and I was very intentional in my disobedience towards God. And it was a bit scary and crazy to see how bad I was, and it was really amazing to just realize how much God loved me to do that for me and to die for me, because he forgave me through all of my rebellion and through all of my intentionality in not following him. And so it was really neat to say that, to see that, and how he nailed all of that sin on the cross and paid that ultimate price. And so I think if the cross symbolizes the ultimate sacrifice of Jesus and the ultimate forgiveness of our sins, I think the empty tomb symbolizes God's victory and our hope in eternal life. And I think that when I'm toiling away in my daily chores or suffering for some reason or maybe making some sort of personal sacrifice to follow Jesus, I think if I look to the empty tomb, it can remind me that every single act of obedience I do is worth it. It can remind me that very soon any suffering I have will end. And it shows that Christ has made an eternal kingdom and he has conquered death, and that he has proved that by rising from the dead and leaving the tomb. And so when I was thinking about this, I was reminded of Paul, and I didn't know where it was, so I looked up and I found in 1 Corinthians 15:19, he says, "If in Christ we have hope in this life only, we are of all people most to be pitied." So I think what he's saying is without the empty tomb, we don't have victory over death, so there's just no point in following Jesus, and it's totally hopeless. So in my life, I've been fortunate enough to see firsthand Christians who have taken really tremendous risks with their lives and with their money and with their personal comfort and perhaps even dignity to follow Jesus. And I think that the empty tomb really symbolizes the hope that they have, even if they suffer and die on earth, a much better kingdom is to come.
That's a great note to end on. Thank you so much. Can we give our appreciation for these folks who've shared so well? Thank you this morning. The empty tomb is at the center. It really is. I mean, we talk about the cross for sure on Good Friday, but the empty tomb is at the center of what we have to wrestle with as we consider the Easter story being more than a story. And I hope that if you've been joining us this morning, we have maybe piqued some more curiosity, maybe moved you a little further to consider what it means to have a God, a Savior, who has left the places of the dead and who meets us as we chase after him. So that's my prayer for you this morning, that you will continue to seek him because we know that all who seek will find him. We're going to close off with an ending worship song. And stay tuned because we have a little extra fun right at the very end. Thanks.